Why is it that writing in English seems to be so much easier than speaking? I hear learners say all the time that they need to speak more, but every time they have a chance, they just freeze. I think my biggest frustration is when I have to speak English, my brain literally freezes. Writing is easier for me. Why on earth has it become easier to write with time than to speak? You feel afraid of being judged. That's why you choose writing over speaking.
This sort of feeling that they were going to be judged by how many mistakes they were going to make.
Vulnerability is not weakness. And that myth is profoundly dangerous.
We'll talk about why people feel more comfortable writing than speaking, and give you a bunch of tips and exercises that you can use today to start feeling as confident in speaking English as you do in writing. Oh yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Xenia from Real Life English, where every single week it is our mission to take you beyond the classroom, to speak English naturally and confidently, to connect to the world and use your English as the doorway to your greatest life. So easy. We're talking today about writing and speaking, how they are interconnected and how they are different and also difficult for some people, right? So, you know, I was thinking that today we're really living in a text-based society where, you know, we obtain our information through text, we share information via texting, right? We communicate via message texting and everything. And although we are not focusing today primarily on just messaging, right? We will be talking about writing in general. But let me start by asking you, when it goes to English, do you write or speak English more?
Definitely speak more. Even though, like, I think I write a lot, but in meetings, if I ended up like transcribing everything I said, there would be a lot more information coming out in the form of speaking. And that is, I think, because I worked to get here. Like, I developed the habits that led me here, which I can talk a little bit about today. Like, what are the things that you, viewer, listener, can do as well? So yeah, I'd say speaking, but only because, you know, I practiced my way here.
Yeah. So I imagine that there was a period in your life and your English learning journey where writing and reading took most of the part. Yeah. There was not so much speaking. Or wasn't it the case for you?
Yeah. In the case of like input, meaning like the input skills, like listening, reading, I would say that I listened a lot too. And I think listening is important. If you're going to talk about speaking, like listening is key because it's where you get the sounds, right? So that's probably the most fundamental thing that you can do more often is like, get more exposure to English in as far as like listening.
We'll get to tips a little bit later. We'll get to tips, yeah. But right now, I just wanted to tell our viewers and listeners that actually this episode was inspired by this comment we got on YouTube from one of our users. So the comment goes like this. I think my biggest frustration is when I have to speak English. My brain literally freezes. Writing is easier for me. And it actually reminded me of our Fluency Circle group, because this is like a chat group on Telegram. And basically people are communicating like 24/7, like the group is active, is buzzing all day long. And most communication is through texting. We do organize some of speaking events with them. And what I notice is that people who are so active in the group and like have no issues expressing themselves, maybe not freezing, but they struggle to be as, you know, articulate as they are in writing. And I think it's a common thing among English learners. So I don't know, do you want to start sharing a little bit on why this is happening?
So what you started saying like in the episode, I think that makes a lot of sense. Today with the smartphone, it's like we're typing all the time. So that is one thing. We're in a more like text-based society. And the other reason I think that this is the case is because writing is not the most natural of our communication skills. Like speaking is actually much more natural. There's people who are able to speak but not write, right? Yeah. The illiterate people. But if we switch that and we start focusing more on writing, then we're going to struggle, you know, mm-hmm. for something that should be natural, we're going to start struggling. So there's ways we can fix that. But I think that is the two reasons I'd say.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned like illiterate people. To define it, like illiteral is like not having education, not being able to write and read, right? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to comment on here, not only illiterate people can speak and not write, because I instantly thought of my daughter, who by the age of 6, she couldn't write, but she spoke quite a lot, you know, every day. And that's what's interesting in kids. Like, you know, we like to compare English learners with kids a lot, because actually acquiring a language is like the same natural process. It's just like when we learn English as adults, it's a little bit like, on the one hand, easier for us as adults. On the other hand, is a little bit like more difficult because we are not exposed to the language so naturally as kids. So remember, you being a kid, you just like learned to speak effortlessly. It just like came naturally mm-hmm. to you. But when it came time for you to learn how to write, that's where you put some effort. And remember, I don't know about Brazilian kids, but here Ukrainian kids, we do a lot of spelling mistakes when we start writing, because we write as we hear, right? Because that's what we learned first. We learned to speak. And phonetic language is very often is so different from like the language, the written language. It also reminds me of this. Do you know how? Oh my God, help me. How do they call in America this popular contest when they have to spell the word?
Spelling bee.
Spelling bee, exactly. So yeah. That's even why they have it, because that's like a skill to know how to write. Yeah.
Yeah. Spelling bee. How would you describe, like, what is that kind of a game or event?
English spelling is super challenging and it's kind of like drives you crazy and you don't know, oh my God, what's going on here? Why you hear thought, just three sounds, T-O-T, right? But you have to write T-H-O-U-G-H-T, right? If I'm correct. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I win this contest or not. So basically this contest, this spelling bee, is exactly that. You have like really difficult words and you have to spell them.
And what's interesting about English with that, with the spelling bee, is that it's not a phonetic language, as you said. So you really have to memorize a lot of the words, right? Thought or, and something that is not like a word that is not like phonetically logical, right? So, but in Portuguese, for example, my native language, it's not as fun as of a game, because you can easily guess by just hearing the sound. So that is one important asterisk here, I would say, like of why speaking can be difficult if you're not practicing it, is because if you're just writing and reading, it'll be difficult for you to get the sounds right. It's almost like two different languages if you think about it, right? Or
exactly
in a way.
And these are like two different like I don't know, signal systems, yeah, two different means of communication. And that's why we often say, if you learned with traditional methods, like you may sound a little bit like unnatural, because we don't speak like we write or how the book writes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen, like, we've discussed a little bit about like writing, how we learn to write. So if we think logically, we've put so much effort into learning how to write, then why on earth has it become easier to write with time than to speak? So and that actually reminds me of my conversation with Mira when I asked her, and by the way, she doesn't speak English. She just like knows the basics, the English she gets from school. When I asked her, is it easier for her to speak some sentences in English or to write them like naturally and without even thinking about, she said, speaking, of course, because like she doesn't know how to write well. Yeah. So I'm wondering, why are we even recording this podcast easy? If like, if you think logically, speaking is the most natural thing and it should be easier than writing. You said one of the reasons, this text-based society that we're used to like writing a lot nowadays. But, you know, I was also thinking about Like I imagine myself, okay, I'm writing. I'm trying to express my thoughts in writing. And the first thing that comes to my mind is that I get so much more time to gather my thoughts and to structure it, right, when I write it. Maybe that's what makes it easier. Like, without having like a lot of vocabulary in English, it even like makes the things even worse, even more difficult. Like we're trying not only to gather our thoughts, but also to remember the words. When in writing, we do have that time, even if we don't know the word, to look it up and use it. That's the reason that lies on the surface. Did you ever think of anything like that? Do you like when you write? By the way, I asked the first question I asked you, was it like, do you speak more or write more? You said you speak more. But can you think of the instances when you do write? When you compare it to speaking, how is it different for you?
I think writing for me is something that I cultivate exactly because of what you said about like you can gather your own thoughts, right? It is the perfect means of communication when you want to deeply think about what you are trying to express and you're putting all of those ideas into words and you want to really craft that, right? You can craft a letter. Usually that's even a collocation, right? Like craft a letter because like you're choosing each word like really thoughtfully. With speaking, that's more difficult to do. You can be a great communicator while speaking, but you can be almost sure that you won't be as like thoughtful in your, you know, your decision is there in your decision making for the words you use. So I guess there's that. It's like seeing that the different means of communication in speaking and writing, they can be used differently for different purposes.
I think we talked a lot about this, about passive and active vocabulary. And again, I have an example with kids. Sorry. We do know more words than we use, like when we read or even when we compose a text, we can use more words compared when we speak, because on the surface in our active vocabulary, there's not so many words. And this is something we actually can develop. I told you about the example with kids. Like I could see with Mira in her first grade when they started reading and they had those really small texts for retelling, you know, like you should read a text and then tell what you read about. And the texts were really easy. So definitely she knew all the words in the text. But then it was so difficult for her to tell in her own words what she just read about. And what she tried to do is that she tried to retell it word by word, just like it was in a text, because she was lacking synonyms. She was lacking some other words to just paraphrase it. Yeah, we did another episode on paraphrasing. That's what people, that students can practice. Like when you write, try to use as many synonyms as you can. Try to make like your communication, your text richer. But then again, if you want to become better at speaking, try to write as you speak and like make an analysis. Would you like, okay, you use this word. Would you use it when you speak? Right. And if you notice that, okay, I know this word, but I don't use it a lot and I would want to use it a lot. Just like deliberately bring it up in your next conversation. When it goes to tips, any tips you can give, Izzy?
As far as speaking, like really taking your writing skills, somehow translating them to speaking, I think you can literally speak out loud as you write. Like if you've never done this, I think that was something that I used to do, you know, back when I was just getting started with my developing my communication skills, like my speaking skills. It's super useful. And it's, you'll notice like as you do that, that you're actually not that great of a writer. When it comes to speed, we don't type faster than we can speak, but because there's no pressure,
yeah,
we feel like we can, you know, can just flow with our writing, but we can't like normally. So it's what Ksenia said, just being deliberate. It helps in this initial moment of getting used to it. If you speak out loud more deliberately, like you read things out loud, you know, speak your own thoughts, that is a great start because you need to warm up. That was actually the biggest idea that I was thinking about to answer this question. What can you do to start speaking more naturally, just like you write, as easily as you write? I think warming up is essential. And this is like, warming up is something that exists in so many things that we do. Like, we learn how to drive. First, we need to warm up. You know, it's not going to be automatic. Like playing an instrument, like guitar, it won't be automatic. So before things become automatic, we need to warm up. We need to be, I guess, deliberate, right? You need to think things through, and with time, it will become more automatic.
That's what our schools are lacking, right? Exactly that. We translated so much in our English classes. We read a lot. We were writing. We wrote those, I don't know, tests, exams, just to show how much we've learned. But there was not enough of speaking. That's what, yeah, you were saying, basically, Easy, that we didn't have enough of warm-up while learning English. And if you didn't learn English at school, and if you were just starting to learn English, just like, it's your prerogative. It's like your choice. Speak from day one. This is something we repeat episode after episode. Let me go on a tangent here. You used the word pressure, and it somehow reminded me of another thing I was thinking about the reasons why it can be challenging to speak. When we are speaking, we get an instant reaction, all those nonverbal clues from a person we're talking to. So speaking is very contextualized, which is good on one hand, but on the other hand, many of us, we're just like fear of being judged. Yeah, if we say something wrong and we don't have it in writing, because we can write and forget what we wrote. Yeah, it's like, now it's your thing. So deal with it, what I wrote mm-hmm. to you. We don't get that instant, yeah, a reaction from a person mm-hmm. we wrote to.
Yeah, there's that psychological mm-hmm. aspect there.
That, exactly. Right?
Like, fear of being judged. That is one thing that you can, if you want to play that game, is like, I'm going to be judged. And when people judge me, I want them to consider me a great speaker. I don't think personally that's a great game to play, because you're going to be not great in many things in life. And if that stops you from doing those things, you're not going to do those things. So in the case of speaking, I think it's impossible to just start speaking or writing or just communicating in any language that's more like new to you, a language that you're learning. It's impossible to do it well, you know, and you'd be viewed as a beginner. Just like, accepting that is so important, right? And being okay with it, not letting that harm your identity in any way mm-hmm. or your sense of like pride, you know, in this sense. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. it's okay. Like, play with the language, like, be playful like a kid is, and don't let that fear discourage you. Like, don't be scared of making mistakes. We say that all the time, but it's one thing that if you focus on that, it is one mindset that will unlock habits, it will unlock natural practices, mm-hmm. I'd say.
Exactly. And so, guys, I just really wanted to remind our listeners and our viewers that exactly the best place to practice those short English conversations is on the Real Life English app, where at the touch of a button, you get connected to another English learner and practice your speaking with them. Like, you can freeze up or not, but the more connections you make, the more fluent you get, the more confident you get, the more warm-up you have, as Easy said. And by the way, if you don't have our Real Life English app installed on your smartphones yet, go grab the link in the description to this video, or simply search for Real Life English app on your favorite app store.
Yeah, so something I thought about before we started recording is that in this idea of warming up, what exactly are you warming up? I think what you are warming up are your muscles of articulation and also your mental articulation, if you may. Mm. And some exercises can help you warm up your muscles of articulation. There's like shadowing and reading out loud. That helps a lot. And some other exercises also help with your mental articulation. That is just helping the words flow and come to you more naturally. And writing actually helps with that too. And if you're writing and reading out loud at the same time what you are writing, I think that can be super helpful with both of these types of articulation being developed at the same time. So just an idea of an exercise that I wanted to share.
Could you just give one example of how could you practice that?
there's so many things you can do, right? I already mentioned reading out loud and shadowing. Yeah, actually about shadowing, let me explain. Mm-hmm. I think there's different ways you can shadow, use that shadowing technique. And Xenia, I even remember you mentioned that some time ago as something that you'd use with your students, right? Or that you have used before. So could you explain to our viewers and listeners here, what is the shadowing technique?
It's basically when you are mimicking the character. So let's imagine you watch one of our lessons or any clip on YouTube with, let's say, your favorite celebrity. They're given an interview and you want to copy them. So shadowing is basically copying. So you would watch and listen to how they pronounce certain words, expressions, sentences, phrases, and you would rewind, listen to it a couple more times and try to repeat and say it exactly how they said it. So that's shadowing.
And the interesting thing is that I think there are many ways you can do shadowing. I've seen different teachers apply different methods. So one thing that I'll do with the more advanced student, I think if you're a listener, if you consider yourself to be at an upper intermediate level, you know, you're able to write almost fluently, you know, you don't struggle to write, maybe you can do this. So you can try and speak at the same time or almost at the same time as you listen to whoever you're listening to. Let's say it's a TV series and you're just like watching a scene. You can try and imitate immediately as you hear the words. That's going to help a lot with, again, with like those two types of articulation, the mental and the muscles of your mouth. And Xenia, there was another technique, another exercise that I remember, like you mentioned that in one of our lessons like from 2 years ago on the Real Life English YouTube channel.
Oh, really?
That was, yeah, it's like narrating what's happening around you. Do you remember that? It was like describing the situation, like talking to you, like out loud.
I believe that was my first guest appearance on YouTube here. True Life English. That's basically when I had to record a video of me doing that. Yeah, showing an example. Is that like going and telling everything I could see and like describe everything what's going on? That's a wonderful exercise. Yeah, it's so easy to do, right?
It is, but still, like maybe when a guide, like let's say, like anyone who's listening right now or watching could start doing this. Like it could pause and do as Xenia says. So how would you guide them in this exercise? What would them have to look for describing and talking about?
If you just start doing this and if it's something not so natural, start just like naming the objects you see around you. Yeah, so I can see like a shelf of books, my laptop and like, you know, the lighting, my pen is lying on the table. I don't know, stuff like that. But then with time, like let's say you dedicate a week to that. Then you want to go, you know, raise the bar and already describe situations. So what's happening? Yeah, using practicing different tenses of English maybe. Let's imagine you are walking in the park, right? So you can describe what's going on, who you see, right? So there is a lady drinking her coffee. They're having a conversation. There is a couple. They're kissing. I don't know, something like that. Yeah, it would be wonderful if you had, I don't know, maybe your phone with you to take notes or a physical notebook and see what words you are missing. Like if you notice something and you don't know how to describe it, you don't know an English equivalent or you just, you know, don't know how to say that, just like write down and go home and check it. Create your own sentence then. Yeah. Try to learn this word.
Super useful for identifying those gaps, I would say. Mm-hmm. And if you start to describe what's going on with you, for example, let's say you're about to go do something in your day and you try to describe like what is it that you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and maybe even like why, what's the reason behind that. And as you explain that to yourself, you're going to identify many words that are important to you, you know, because they are part of your life, but maybe you don't know how to say those things in English. So that's a useful exercise as well for increasing your active vocabulary of things that actually mean something to you. So those are the words that you should learn, focus on learning. Very often people ask themselves, like, how can I know if I, you know, what kind of vocabulary I should focus on, or what kind of vocabulary I should focus on? People don't know. This is one exercise that can help you with that. And you can even do this by writing. If you're journaling, that mm-hmm. helps too. Mm-hmm. When it comes to vocabulary. But then when it comes to speaking, then there's that other technique of reading out loud as you write. So all of this, you can mix, you know, and play with all these techniques mm-hmm. to activate your English.
I don't know, maybe one final tip, like a bonus tip from me, again, taken from the Fluency Circle. What our student Hiro from Japan is doing, he's doing exactly that. He uses the chat. When he writes a message, he imagines that he is actually saying that sentence. So he writes a question on the chat and he prepares to answer it. And he tries to use the phrases like as if he was answering it to a person sitting next to him.
And then this idea of describing your surroundings will actually give you nice vocabulary for practicing on the app, on your real life app with other people. So say you are in your living room and you start talking with the other person. One subject that you can get into is the stuff that is more unique surrounding you. And you can start a conversation from anything that the other person like doesn't know. Maybe it's something from your culture. Make it about who you are. Make it about maybe your job, maybe who you are at home. You know, if you're a parent and you want to, there's something that you can share. So all of that is going to keep your communication skills tied to your life. So I think a lot of people struggle because when they go to school, like a language school, they're learning all this vocabulary that is not directly tied to their mm-hmm. lives. Mm-hmm. So you can do the opposite, and this is going to keep you engaged, and it's going to activate the right words for you, as we already said.
That's what you just mentioned. Actually happened to me many times when I was using our app. You know, like people wanting to show me where they are at the moment when we were speaking, or showing their diplomas or their drawings. I remember it like right now. I was connected to an Indian guy. He works as a tour guide. And at the moment when he was speaking to me, he was in the mountainous area. So he actually could show me like the mountains, the forest that right there, the greenery, and like would tell me about his region. And the other guy I remember from Bangladesh. So he's really good at drawing, and at school they have some contest or something like that. So he got a diploma for his drawing. So he showed me proudly his diploma and some of his drawings. So this is it. People already use it, maybe not all of them. So those of you who are not using it yet, so follow Izzy's advice. And that's a super natural way to connect to people and to practice your speaking skills, of course. All right, so we've been speaking a lot. I hope that our listeners, viewers got a lot of tips today, and not only, you know, listen to us, but actually would want to try it out. All right, Izzy. So I wanted to ask you what you were digging this week.
So what I've been digging this week is a podcast with Tim Ferriss. And he interviewed the writer, the author, Cal Newport. And Cal has recently written a new book called Slow Productivity, The Lost Art of Accomplishment Without Burnout. And it's just a fascinating concept, the idea of slow productivity. Basically, you know, he talks about, like, the reason why I'm recommending this here is because, like, most people these days, they get into a lot of busyness. Not business as in like companies and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. like work in general, but busyness as in maybe an addiction to getting busy. But being busy doesn't mean that you are doing meaningful stuff that will actually take you places. So slow productivity is this concept that addresses this, I would say, addiction also that people have, that all of us have, and avoid burnout.
We should leave them the link to this podcast if anyone's interested in listening to it. So I imagine you highly recommend it.
Totally. At least the podcast, I know that they even talk about other stuff too. And if this is something that you suffer from, that you feel like you suffer from as a learner, student, professional, I'm sure you're going to love it. But how about you, Xenia? What have you been thinking?
Oh, my week was so much lighter than yours, I imagine. It's just because of the weather. So here in Ukraine, we finally have a really warm and so pleasing spring that I've been digging flowers and music. So there's a season of magnolias here. These are trees with really big flowers. I don't know. For you interested, we could, I don't know, show you some of the pictures I took of them on YouTube. And this is what I've been doing. Every morning before taking Mira to school, we go to this little park with magnolias to just immerse ourselves in this beauty, take some pictures. And then coming back home, I'm kind of trying to prepare for our next podcast that we are going to record with Ethan on Eurovision. So what I was doing is trying to listen to different participants and choosing what songs I like. So there's been a lot of music this week for me.
I'm interested. Eurovision is not something that I'm so familiar with. The contest, right? The event. Mm-hmm. And I guess listening to that podcast will be a nice way for me to get introduced to it.
Yeah, it's just like an advertisement for our next coming episode. Guys, if you're interested in listening to it, learning about Eurovision, yeah, you're welcome to listen to the next episode. Okay, Izzy, thank you so much. That was a fun episode to record. And guys, if you're enjoying these lessons, help us. A free way to support us is giving us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other platform you're using to listen to these podcasts. And if you're there on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button and bell down below to never miss any of our newest lessons. That really helps our channel grow and other learners to find our episodes. And remember, no matter what divides us, that what unites us is far greater. Easy. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What things are we most nostalgic about from the 1990s?
Well, if it isn't Tamagotchi, her new favorite pet.
Yes!
Should parents limit how much their children are using technologies like iPads and video games?
Taking into consideration everything that technologies bring, I think it outweighs the drawbacks, the downsides.
The average 18-year-old in the United States is on pace to spend 93% of their remaining free time looking at a screen.
Should schools have required education about moderating your use